Thank you that you are Lord, that you are our Father, and we are your children of this great family of God. And today I thank you, Father, you would open up your word, that we would see how blessed you've made us as your family and what is our responsibility to walk into that. I thank you that our eyes will be open, our hearts prepared. And as we hear, Father, we will do what you say because we're good kids. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Hallelujah. We started a series last week called Bless Our Home. And I thought it sometimes, God bless this mess, and it really should be God bless our home. God bless my family, all right? Amen. And we started, what was our scripture last week? Blessed are those that hunger, thirst after righteousness, they'll be filled or satisfied. Okay, if you missed last week, go get a free CD. My goodness. Okay, let's do it again. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They'll be filled or satisfied. And we found out last week, maybe, just maybe, I need an appetite change because the things I've been filling my life have not been filling me the God way. So that's all. I'm going to give you a little morsel, and you need to go. You can go online, YCF.com, press get a free message. You can listen to it, or you can get a free message by filling out an envelope. Free, 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 okay? Now, what we're doing is we're going through the Beatitudes. They're found in Matthew chapter 5. And the Beatitudes is Jesus speaking to a whole group of people. And Beatitude simply means blessedness. Blessedness. So Jesus is speaking these blessed things towards people. And today, you can open up, just leave your hand in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to do another one. But we're taking these Beatitudes, which you can really apply individually, just to you. Me. Because I can be a me. But we're going to apply it to our homes, to our families. And if you're single, good. Take notes, believe God, and you can, you know, you'll apply it later. All right? So some people, well, I'm not married, I don't have a dozen kids. Well, you should say, thank you, Jesus, but I'm going to learn a few things, so I'm getting ready. So we're going to take the Beatitudes, and we're going to apply them to our lives and our home, okay? Okay, now I'm not getting off track, but I'm going to ask a crazy question. Has anybody ever been robbed? I see hands go up. Years ago, Jack and I were robbed. We had a back porch on West King Street, and it was screened in, and he would leave his tool chests out on the back hidden underneath stuff. Well, one day we went out there, and somebody robbed his tool chest, all right? And it is not a good feeling to be robbed. I have friends who've had people come into their house. That is very violating, kind of messes with your head. But you know my Jack, he's like every day afterwards, if he heard a noise, he'd either get the bat, honey, I got this. Later on, he'd get the shotgun out of underneath the bed, you know. But if you don't like guns, you can just pretend the bat thing, all right? All right? But listen, all men know that they protect their families. Say amen if you're a guy. They do. But I want to tell you, all women do the same thing. You mess with our babies? Amen. I don't care if it's a bear. We will come after you. All women say yes. Because really, there's something inside of us, all of us, that we want to protect our loved ones, our families, and even our physical possessions. Just be nice about it, though, okay? And in our culture, we're actually encouraged to protect. You ever get those baby things that go on every outlet in your house? Any moms, you got to cover up the outlets. Kids, I grew up, and we just rode our bikes. Now you have to wear a helmet. You make your kids wear a helmet riding a bike. I was like, really? Because, you know, we're not messing the hair. But I want to tell you, my kids, I made sure they got helmets. So our culture is for protecting our families. But it's very interesting. As much as our culture has lots of things about how to protect our loved ones, you start exhibiting or saying that you want to protect your loved ones morally or their innocence, they think you're overprotective. I know. All right. They call you. And so if you're going to protect your family physically, yay. But when you start saying, well, they make fun of you when you start protecting your family, on moral issues, their innocence, they just rip you apart. So what's with that? Well, today we're going to find out. Today we're going to do the Beatitude, Matthew 5:8. And not only we already know that God wants us to protect our families physically, but we're going to learn that God wants to protect our families, ourselves and our families, their hearts, that they would be pure. Okay, so that is the new job description, in case you didn't get the memo last week, all right? Interesting that, you know, we know we don't like it when people rob us physically, but I'm telling you guys, there is an enemy that's about, a spiritual enemy that's about, and he doesn't take a day off, and he doesn't care you have a fence, but he is about trying to rob, steal, and kill, and destroy your life, your loved one's life, their innocence, and their trust in God. So I think this is really important. So open up to Matthew 5, verse 8. I'm kind of stuck on the NIV. I kind of go in waves. Like, so for a long time, I was stuck on the Amplified Bible, you know. So just get a Bible, okay? I don't really care. Just get a Bible. But today, Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You want to say that with me? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So what are they going to see? God, all right? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they are going to see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. The Greek word for that word heart is cardia. Every once in a while, I want you to know that I look up Greek. All right? It says cardia. That's where we get our English for cardiac, cardio, and all that stuff, okay? But it's interesting, when Jesus said these, blessed are the pure in heart, it was sort of a metaphor. He wasn't talking about this physical pure heart that pumps, you know, blood to all your veins. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about the inner person, the spiritual you. How do I say that? He's really talking about your emotions and attitudes and your thoughts. He's talking about a whole bunch of things when he says this heart. So it's not the organ, but it's the real you. Blessed are the pure in heart. Okay, blessed are the pure in heart. Now, it's really interesting today, and it is really common. I've caught myself saying this years ago, and we say it and we believe it about ourselves and other people. We'll say, oh, Miss Selena has a good heart. Frank, he's got a good heart. Has anybody ever said that about somebody? A lot of times they tack it on just to excuse their bad behavior, but we're not saying that. Frank, Kathy, you take care of Frank, all right? Blessed are the pure in heart. But listen, that is absolutely not a true statement. That is not a true statement to say someone has a pure heart without Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ giving you heart surgery, doing heart surgery, and giving you a new life, you do not have a pure heart. Jeremiah, you want to open up to that? Jeremiah, in my book, is on page 719. I don't know where it is on yours. Jeremiah 17:9-10. So you can't have a pure heart by yourself. And Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful. Whoa! Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things, beyond all cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine it. So the heart is deceitful. And yet, Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. Okay, so we got a heart problem going on here. Now, would you also flip over now to New Testament Ephesians. Wow. Can you say that? Ephesians. It's when you get some of those Old Testament words there, I'm like, whoa. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Let's all say that. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So we got Jeremiah telling us that a heart is deceitful. And then we have Paul, the apostle Paul, writing in Ephesians 4 to the Ephesian church. Now, what you don't know about these boys and girls is that one time they did not know God. They were Gentiles. They're actually still Gentiles. But there was a time that they were not a covenant people knowing God. They were far from God. And Paul came and told them about Jesus. And they had obtained, they received a new heart, a new life through believing in Jesus. So that's what Paul does. But he's now writing to them again. Anybody ever need someone to tell you again, tell you again? Just tell me again. Tell me again. Paul's writing to them again, and he starts out saying, hey, listen, I don't want you to act like your neighbors. So their neighbors are Gentiles, but this is the bunch that has not had their eyes open and received Jesus. And Paul's talking to these new ones, and he says, listen, don't act like those guys anymore. You're a new guy. You're a new creature, but don't act like them. Okay, Ephesians 4:18. Them, those that don't know Jesus, that are lost, your lost neighbors, they are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Okay, guys, there's about 20 things going on in there. So if you're taking notes, Carol, you got that up? Is that it? Hallelujah. It's so funny the way... Okay. Thank you. Write this down. This is one of those things. This scripture has about four things. I exaggerate it. Four things going on that you have to look at. Number one, he's saying your old neighbors, your neighbors that do not have a new life, this is what's going on in them. They are darkened in their understanding. Number one. Number two, they're separated from the life that God wants them to have. Listen, the day Jesus died and rose again, life was poured out. But sometimes we don't take advantage of it. And that's what he's saying. He says they are separated from the life that God wants them to have because of their ignorance. I love saying that. You're so ignorant. Okay, but Paul says it nicer. Because they are ignorant and they don't even realize it because their hearts have grown hard to the things that matter most. All right. Okay, I'm going to give you a real, that's a whole lot of stuff. And that's one of those things you go home and you just chew on that scripture for about a week. But let me give you a real big easy way. Have you ever gone to the movie theater and you bought your popcorn out in the foyer and then you walk in and it's really dark and you kind of bump into the person, half your popcorn spills? Why? Why does that happen? Because it's dark in there, right? When you first go into where the chairs are, it's dark in there. But suddenly, after a few minutes, all of a sudden you can see, right? Why is that? You're allowed to call out today. Why? Because your eyes start adjusting to the darkness. Write that down. Your eyes start adjusting to the darkness. So, could it be that the majority of our lives and our homes and our loved ones is that we're separated from the life God wants us to have? Because maybe our eyes have been adjusted to darkness. Hola! It's okay. Okay. Maybe, could it be that we've gotten adjusted to darkness? All right? Now listen, I'm going to tell you again, I am not perfect. I am still not perfect. And there are things that I'm going to share today. I'm not stepping on your toes. I actually stepped on my toes. But it's time to put a mirror in our life because this scripture says, blessed are those that are pure in heart. They'll see God. I want to see God. Anybody want to see God? I want to see the way God sees also. All right? So we're going to have to make some adjustments. And I think in my life, and maybe in yours, we've kind of gotten used to the darkness. Right? Yes, Pastor D. And you know what happens? We've allowed, because we've adjusted to the darkness, impurities to come into our life and our families and our home. All right? Now, the second part of that, Ephesians 4:19. We did Ephesians 4:18, but 4:19 says, having lost. Now, these are the guys that don't know Jesus. This is what's going on. They have lost all sensitivity, and they have given themselves over to sensuality as they indulge in every kind of impurity. Underline the word impurity. All right? Impurity. Okay, what's impurity? Something that's dirty. Okay? It's not clean. Impure. All right? So when you say that, doesn't that sound like our culture? It sounds like our culture. They've lost all sensitivity, and they've lost it. All right, now, yet, as a Christian, in my life, I want to protect my family. Don't you? All right? I want to protect them. I want to guard my marriage. I'm not married right now. Okay? So funny. And I want to protect this next generation. Right? Okay. But just think about it. Would we ever hand a baby a bottle full of poison and say, here, go suck on it? No! Would we ever tell our kids to go swimming in the pool that's full of acid? No! Would you? You can all say no! Okay. Yet, how about our 15-year-old daughter? We let her go on a car date with some hairy hormone boy that we've never even met. This happened to me. I was 15 years old, and oh, Mom, this boy asked me out. Now, listen, I grew up in North Jersey. He asked me out, and he played in a band, and we were going with the band into New York City, and my parents let me go. Now, my dad did come to the door in his boxer shorts, as he did everything in life, and shake the guy's hand, but he didn't know him, and I had wished about 2 hours into that, okay? All right, let me give you another one. How about young boys? 14-year-olds boys. We give them unlimited access to mobile devices, and they can watch anything and everything. Would you do that? How about we take our hard-earned money and we pay for entertainment that just breaks God's heart? Listen, we do that in our culture, and we do it in our homes. Guilty. Okay, I'm guilty. And I'm going to straighten up and fly right, okay? But listen, those things are absolutely normal. It was so funny when I was describing a little girl. You are a daddy now and have a little girl, and you're like, heck no! The boy's not coming to my door till we interrogate him. Who is it? Who's my friend? Oh, now, getting on the serious side, could it be this is the reason our homes are not blessed? Could it be because our hearts have grown hard, our hearts are darkened, and we're just kind of used to it? Could it be that's the reason why our homes aren't blessed? Listen, it's not God. It's us, all right? But listen, what's it going to be like to do it differently? Thank you, I'll tell you. Last week we did a key thought. We said that we were going to have a brain shift, a thinking shift. And we said we are not just going to be a Christian. We're going to be a Christ-centered home. We are going to do things differently. We're not just going to be a Christian, because you start asking people, are you a Christian? They go, yeah. And you look at them and you go, no. Right? Right? Okay. And there's a big difference being a Christian and being a Christ-centered home. Christ-centered home. You know what the difference is? Jesus, you are first in me always, all the time. That, at least that's my desire, okay? I'm not perfect, all right? And listen, a friend of mine, he and his wife graduated Rhema with Jack and I, wow, 30 years ago. And it's Marilyn and Jack Uris. And they pastor a church upstate New York. And he called this past week. He's part of the team that's organizing the camp that we'll send kids to. And he talked to Sherry and he said, "Hey, I want to talk to your mom." I was like, "Whoa." So I get on and it kind of takes me a little choke because his name is Pastor Jack. So it gives me about 2 seconds. I go, and then I'm all gay. And we were just swapping good stories. And see, I know this Pastor Uris. Notice I couldn't say that. And it's been tough. It's been tough plowing ground right outside New York City, upstate New York, on the Hudson River. It's tough. You think your county's tough? It's been really tough. And I've known them, and they're godly, loving people. Matter of fact, their love doesn't quit. And I said to him, "Pastor Jack, thank you for not quitting. I've watched people quit on God. And thank you so much that you and your wife are still continuing to preach the gospel to in the good times and the hard times." And you know what he said to me? He goes, "Dee, where else would I go?" "He's my everything." That was the second part. "Dee, Jesus is my everything." Now that is a Christ-centered man who leads a Christ-centered home. That's the difference. That's the difference. So, guys, listen, if we want the blessings in our life, we need to we need to learn to live according to God's word. All right? Okay? So, turn over to Psalm 119. I used to be able to sing this, but I will not. I crack myself up sometime. Okay. Psalm 119. Where is it? Turn the page. Here we go. Psalm 119. The writer, the psalmist that wrote this, asked this question. Psalm 119, verse 9. The writer asked this question. "How can a young man," I'm going to put a person, "how can a young person stay on the path of purity?" That's the way I want to say it. How can you do it? And that's a good question to ask, don't you think? So I don't care if you're young. If you have kids, this is a good question. If you're young, this is a good question. But if you've got Jesus, you are forever young. You're eternal. So put your name in that. So you could say, "How can I stay on a path of purity?" A good question, right? All right. So the answer. Now, if you were to ask the world, this is what they'd say. All right. Just follow your heart. God, listen, just follow your heart. You know what I'm going to tell you? That is the stupidest thing you'll ever tell somebody. Stupid. You don't follow your heart. I've had people in my office for counseling, and the wife followed her heart and had committed adultery with the worship leader. "But I was following my heart, Pastor." Okay? I've had guys come into my office and say, "Pastor, I'm following my heart. This woman's hot." And they ditch out of their marriage covenant. Okay, I'm just following my heart. So is that good advice to tell somebody, follow your heart? Everybody say no. Okay. Psalm 119:9. How can a young man keep his path pure? The answer is right there. Ready? By living according to the word. That's your answer. Because if you look, the heart, we found out in Jeremiah, is deceitful. All right? And even when God gives you a new heart, if you're not following the word, you're going to go back to the old way. So that's how you keep your life pure. You got to follow the word. And sometimes, man, they're hot. Stop it. You got to knock it off. All right? That is not what you follow. So, now, I have this, if you're not married, if you're single, you'd say, "Well, Pastor D, you know, it doesn't matter right now. I can just live any way I want because, you know, I'll get it together later on, right? I can do what I want. I can sleep with who I want. I can eat what I want. I can chew what I want. I can smoke what I want. I can do what I want. I can do what I want. I can do what I want. And later on, I'll get it together." Yeah, you can. But listen, how many of you like pulling weeds in the garden? They're hard, especially after a drought. It's harder to pull weeds out. All right. So start now living a righteous life, a pure life. It's so much easier. And there are things that I'm still yanking out of my life because I met the Lord around 21 years of age. Those 21 years were a lot of not living a pure, holy life. Sometimes those things flash back at you. So wouldn't it be better to do it now? Yeah, it's easier. Anybody agree with me? It's so much easier. So how can a young person keep themselves on the path of let's try that again, Pastor D. How can a young person keep themselves on the path of purity? By living according to the Word of God. Isn't that simple? The Bible's really simple. Okay? That part's simple. It's the doing. All righty. Now, so what happens if maybe your home, you've kind of gotten your eyes that have gotten accustomed to darkness? What happens if that's what's going on? What happens if your heart's been hardened? What happens if you just don't see the impurities in your life? Okay? What do you do? Well, better yet, how do you go against the flow of this culture? Man, it is just so big and screaming, the culture, that it's okay to do that, all right? What do you do? Well, I'm going to give you three things that you can practically apply to your life. There was no baby in that, so praise the Lord. Baby carrier hit the floor there, okay. Hey, listen, let me give you three things. We're going to wrap up real quick. Three things, practical things. I'm a practical person. Sometimes fluff, 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 and I'm like, would you just tell me how to do this? Okay, I'm going to give you three practical things on to apply to your life so you can have a Christ-centered home where you're pursuing purity, where it's, okay? This is not number one. This is like half a one. Number one, this does not happen by accident. All right? You just don't get married, have six kids. Ronnie and Mary Lou, how many kids did you guys have? Seven kids. And Ronnie smacks Mary Lou on the shoulder 20 years later, goes, whoa, Mary Lou, man, them some pure holy kids we got. I wonder how that happened. Say, no way. I know their kids and I know these parents. No way. It does not happen by accident. You do not live and have a pure heart and have the blessings of God and obey, do all that by accident. You have to be purposeful. Okay? Sorry. Those are the directions. All right? Purposeful. Intentional. All right? So, number one, taking notes. How can you be a Christ-centered family that is pure in heart? Number one, point your finger here. Start with yourself. We just love to tell the spouse, rah, 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 rah. And, you know, we don't do this here. Start with yourself, all right? Get your heart right first. So if you want to write real simple, number one, get your heart right first. Get your heart right first. Punch them. No, stop punching them. Go like this, all right? I don't care if you're 18 or 118. You can lead the people around you. Because you... control of your life. You can lead them. So you start with your life first. All right? You know this Proverbs 4:23. This is Solomon giving you the best wisdom of the whole world. It says, guard your heart with all diligence. All right? So that's what you do. Your heart. He didn't say guard everybody and you point the finger at everybody. He says, guard your heart with all diligence. Another translation says, keep your heart with all diligence. So that's the first thing you're going to do. All right? So when we're looking at our life, and then you can look at your family, you got to ask this question, how do we behave? I adjusted this. Sounds good. Okay, how do we behave? Here's another question you should ask. How do I behave? What do I allow in my family? What do I want to influence me and my family? What do I want to read and what do I want my family to read? What kind of entertainment do I want to watch? Okay, you get it? And the other part is, how do you decide what's right and what you shouldn't? Notice I didn't say wrong. What's right? How do you decide that? How do you decide that? Well, if you ask a lot of people, they'll say, oh, just let your conscience be your guide. Is that that Disney movie, Jiminy Cricket? Didn't he used to sing that? Okay. I am older than you. All right. Let your conscience be your guide. This conscience, the Bible says, can be seared. It's the same thing. You don't even know you're off course. It's tough. It can be seared by the things that happen in your life. The heart's deceitful. Your heart can, and your conscience can be seared. So you can't go following that. All right? You cannot follow that. So take, for instance, now, all you wives, don't hit them. And I have said this, but I'm going to just change something. How many wives have said to their husbands, honey, you know, I just really don't think that some of the things that, and they're so loving, we're watching, instead of saying you're watching, we're watching, are building us up like Christ. Does anybody ever say that to their spouse? And the husband says, it's just shooting and killing. What's the matter with that? Okay. Your conscience can get seared, okay? How about, maybe we should watch things that are more building up, like Jesus. And your spouse says, what are you going to be legalistic on me, woman? And you go, you know, it's just cussing. You know, it's just violence, all right? And then one of these days, you invite your good Christian buddies to go to a movie together. And you're watching the movie, and the F-bombs are flying, and they're shooting everybody up. And all of a sudden, you watch a horrific scene where, okay, I'm going to make you squirm. Some little girl is violently raped. And all of a sudden, bam, you wake up, and you go, wow, that stuff's pretty bad. Wow, I took my pastor with me to the movies. Okay, so I took Dolores and Bob to the movies to see Jack the Giant Killer. I thought it would be so cute and easy. I was embarrassed. I said to Pastor Bob and Dolores, I'm so sorry I took you to this movie. We were all laughing. Okay, but anyway, for the point of going back to this, how about you all of a sudden you're in the middle of that and you go, man, I can't believe I'm paying money to watch what breaks God's heart. And you know what we do? Been there, because I won't tell you the show that I would watch, and I'd go, but it's so hysterical. I know it's crude, but it's our jokes are so funny. Anybody have any do that? The problem with that is, how about if I make a funny racist joke? Is that joke funny? Yeah, it is, because I can tell a funny joke. But is that right?
No.
So funny isn't right. All right. So these are things that it's in our culture. And I've done, and I'm all of a sudden I'm cleaning up. I'm like, holy Toledo. Okay. So yeah, it's me too. I'm guaranteed it's just me. It's just me, right? No. It's probably some of you too that we've done this, okay? So this is what my prayer has been. In the last couple of years, I've really gone, whoa. My prayer is, God, help me get my heart pure. God, help me get my heart pure. Help me get my thoughts. God, if there's any conversation that's not pure, tell me. God, if I'm thinking things that are really impure, convict me, right? God, if I'm allowing friends that are always pulling me down and I cannot pull them up, please put the handwriting on the wall. All right. God, help my heart be pure. Guys, we don't have it all together, and it'll be a constant thing. But you ask, you open the door and you ask the Holy Spirit to come in and just, you know, tickle you. You'd be surprised. Now I'm getting better. It's not so much what comes out of our mouth. Now he's dealing with the things in my head. I was like, oh, okay. So I think that's better, right? I think that's better. All right. Now, number two. So number one was get your heart right first, okay? Number two, parent. If you're a parent, you need to parent to the heart. Parent to the heart, okay? If you're working with kids, you need to parent them to the heart. All right, so often we are just interested in the actions. We are interested in get yourself behavior all straightened up. And we're not dealing with the heart, all right? Now listen, Jesus was a fanatic about the heart. If you think you're like Pastor D, you're just, you know, Jesus was worse than I was. Jesus was fanatic about the heart because in the Old Testament they said, don't murder. And Jesus was so interested in the heart, he said, hey, if you are even looking at a woman and lusting in your heart, you have, oh, well, that one's commit adultery. It got mixed up, all right? Okay, but he did say don't murder, but he said if you hate somebody in your heart, that's murder. He said, don't, in the Old Testament, don't commit adultery. If you are looking with lust, you're doing that. So Jesus was really interested in our heart. Okay? Sometimes we're interested in just the action. All right? And God says, I'm more interested in your heart. Matter of fact, he sees the heart. We're all looking. Oh, they look really good. You see the big Bible they carried in and how they're just da 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 da. And God's always looking at our heart. So we need to look at our heart. All right? Now, when you're working with kids, let me give you an example, okay? Let's wrap up. You have two kids fighting, and one of them nails the other one, okay? Jimmy hits Johnny, and you say, Jimmy, you need to go apologize to your little brother. And Jimmy goes, fine. Then he goes over to the little brother, and he says, I'm so sorry you got your feeling hurt, you big baby. All right, did they obey you and apologize? Yes, they did. Okay. But what's going on in the heart? Okay, so you want a parent to the heart. And that's when you have to go, whoa, sit down, boy. We want to talk about your heart, all right? And you will have to talk about their heart and talk about their heart. One of mine stomped up the stairs, slammed the door, the mirror in the back door fell and broke, and I'm so mature, I can't believe you won't let me do that. I was like, girl, come down here. We're going to talk about your heart. Today, it's funny. At the time, it wasn't, all right? So, God's really interested in the matters of the heart. As a parent, you need to be interested in their heart. And sometimes, it's just a little tough, all right? So, number one, get your heart right. Number two, parent to the heart. And the last one, if we want to be a Christ-centered home that's pursuing purity, this one, just put your seatbelt on. Don't think I'm fanatical. We want to pursue perfect purity. We want to pursue perfect purity. Pastor D, don't you think you're just getting this a little too high? I'll never reach it. Guys, purity's perfect, right? Purity doesn't have any, it's perfect. Purity is always perfect. So we're going to pursue perfect purity. That's our goal. Doesn't mean we're going to hit it, but make it your goal, right? Make it your goal. Okay, I'm going to give you a scripture here. Ephesians 5, last scripture, I think. Ephesians 5, 3. Ephesians 5, 3. Again, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to Christians. And he's telling them, hey, stop acting like the neighbors that aren't Christians, okay? Guys, will you get it together? So Ephesians 5, 3. But among you there must not even be a hint. Everybody say hint. Of sexual immorality. Now, what he's saying is, among you, not even a teeny, weeny, weeny, weeny bit. That's what he's saying, right? There must not even be a hint of sexual impurity. Immaturity. Gosh. Okay, this is a pop quiz. Would you say if committing adultery with five people is a hint of impurity? Everybody say? Yes. Okay, you got that one right on your test. Would you say that sleeping with 75% of the ladies that you dated before you got married is a hint, just a little hint of impurity? Okay, would you say lusting at the images on the screen is a hint of impurity that breaks your wife's heart that you do that? Okay, would you say a hint? Everybody say that, a hint. Okay, now those are big. We go, there's a hint. But listen, Paul goes on to say, not even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity. Any kind. And then he goes on, he throws greed in there. He just lays it out, all right? Because, and this is the because those things are improper for those that love the Lord Jesus. Those things are improper for Christ-centered, for a Christian, duh, and Christ-centered. Those things are improper, all right? So, you've heard this story. The first time I heard it, James told it to me. So, and I'll probably tweak it and make it spiffier. You've heard the story about a little 12-year-old boy that goes to his mom and says, I want to go to the movies with my friend. And good mama checks out the movie, says, what? You're not going? Fine, says the kid. And she said, okay, you can go to the movies. But first, let me make you some brownies. She goes outside to little Rover's little doggy doo-doo, takes her little teaspoon and scoops up just a teaspoon of doggy doo-doo, puts it in the batter of brownies. Okay? I didn't create this story. It's so good, though. And she makes brownies for her son, and because he's allowed to go to the movie. And she goes, here's the brownies. And he's like, wow, Mom, you're so cool. You're so wonderful. It smells so great. And she goes, oh, but there's just a little doggy doo-doo in there. And he goes, gross, Mom, I can't believe that. She goes, it's just a little hint of doggy doo-doo. And she said, just like that movie has a little hint, a little dab of stuff. And you wouldn't eat it, all right? You got to look at it that way. Because otherwise, our hearts get hardened. Our eyes become dim. And I won't tell you stuff I've watched in movies that I go now going, whoa! You know, as I get older, I'm older and wiser. It's okay, guys. But listen, if God is saying these things are improper, he means they're improper. You know why he says that? He loves you so much. He wants you to see him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see him. So what happens if you're pure in heart and you will see him? You will see him move in your life. You will see the way God sees people, and then you'll pour into them. You'll see the power of God in your life. What happens if you have this pure heart? God will do things more than you can imagine, because you can finally see what God sees in you and through you. Okay, let's all say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. All right. How about let's close our eyes. I'm going to wrap up here. Listen. Father, we just come to you today and we ask you by your Holy Spirit just to continue to work on our heart, do a heart surgery. And we ask you, just help us to desire what you desire, to see what you see in our lives and in our homes. Father, this is my question. If there's anybody here and you'd say, you know, I think I have been letting some impurity into my heart, into my life, into my family. And you want to live a higher standard. You want to hit a higher mark. You want to walk according to God's word. You want to be not just a Christian and a Christian family, that you want to be a Christ-centered family. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I was going to raise my hand too. Okay? Father, you see these hands. You can put them down. I pray that you will do a work in our heart. Open our eyes always. Keep them flooded as we keep close to you in the word, the flooding of light, that we would see the impurities in the culture and the things that we bump into. Help us walk according to your word and strengthen us, empower us, because we cannot do it alone. And that we would, that's called grace, and we would let you fill us and strengthen us to do, to live, and to be a Christ-centered home. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, what's our scripture? Blessed are those who... I'm not saying it. Blessed. I'll do that part. Pure in heart, because they're going to see God. You guys, you go out and you see God. And then you go tell people of the God that you see. Because they hurt and they're looking. They're looking and they want answers. Ruth told me a story of leading a lady to the Lord just in her living room. Because they're hurting and they're desperate and they want to see what you see and hear what you know. Go tell them. You guys have a wonderful afternoon. Youth is tonight at 6:30. Bring them back, okay? Love you. If you need prayer, want us to pray, come on up front. I'll pray.